This is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Dan Novak and John Russell. Dan tells us about the city on the coast of China, close to Hong Kong, called Macau. It is home to a number of casinos where people go to gamble or play games with the hope of winning money. The city has lost money in recent years due to COVID-19 restrictions in China. With the end to the restrictions, the businesses there hope they will soon see more visitors. Then, John has a story about bats, the flying animals, who struggled to survive during recent very cold weather in Houston, Texas. After that, Ana Mateo joins us for this week's Words and Their Stories. Last week, Ana talked about New Year's resolutions. Perhaps one of your resolutions for 2023 is to make one of your dreams come true. If so, you will want to listen to this dreamy episode. Then, Jill Robbins and I look at some of the recent problems that came from a popular college ranking publication in the U.S. Experts say the rankings are not the most important thing for students to consider when picking a college or university. Stay tuned for our conversation after the story. And now, here's Dan Novak.
Gambling center Macau eased its border restrictions after China made changes to its zero COVID policy in December. The move is expected to improve Macau's visitor-driven economy. The gaming center sits on China's south coast near Hong Kong. For now, a new wave of COVID-19 infections in China is keeping large crowds away from Macau's casinos. From December 23rd to 27th, the city saw a daily average of just 8,300 arrivals, police data found. That is just 68% of November's level. The situation improved on New Year's Eve, with 28,100 visitors entering the city for the day. But that is only 66% of the level recorded a year ago. In 2019, before the pandemic, the daily average was 108,000. China has gone through some of the world's strictest antivirus controls for nearly 3 years. But last week, China announced it would begin issuing passports for tourism. That could create more Chinese tourists outside of the country and will likely increase competition for Macau. Businesses are hoping the Lunar New Year holidays in late January will bring better luck for the territory of 672,000 people. Macau is a former Portuguese colony and the only place in China where casinos are legal. When the coronavirus hit in 2020, the city's gambling earnings fell 80% to just $7.5 billion from a year earlier. In 2021, the number improved to $10.8 billion, but that was still down 75% from a peak of $45 billion in 2013. A recovery could not come a moment too soon for shop owner Lee Hong Soi. He told the Associated Press his business has remained quiet even after entry rules were eased. Entry into Macau required a negative COVID-19 test result before departure. So many people in mainland China have not been able to visit Macau because they were infected. I am running out of strength after enduring for 3 years, Li said. The increase of cases in China led some people to go to Macau to get the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. The vaccine is not available in the mainland, the Chinese business news website Caixin reported last month. So far, there are few signs that visitor numbers have greatly increased in Macau. Glenn McCartney is an associate professor in resort and tourism management at the University of Macau. He told the AP it will take some time for Macau to regain its pre-pandemic energy. For tourism, you can't sort of snap your fingers and things start to move, McCartney said. But he added that tourism officials in Macau have kept advertising their businesses in China during the pandemic. The Lunar New Year, McCartney said, could mark the start of a long-term recovery for tourism. I'm Dan Novak.
Recent cold weather in the southwestern state of Texas almost claimed some unusual animal victims, bats. Bats are the only mammals that can fly. About 1,600 bats had gone into shock and fallen to the ground during unusually cold weather in the city of Houston. But the bats found a temporary home for several days at the home of a director of the Houston Humane Society, a nonprofit group. The bats stayed in the attic, an upper part of the house that served as a temporary recovery space. Over 1,500 of the bats have been or will be released back to their homes to Houston area bridges. Mary Warwick is the wildlife director at the Houston Humane Society. She said she was out doing holiday shopping when the freezing winds reminded her that she had not heard how the area's bats were doing. So she drove to the bridge where over 100 bats looked to be dead as they lay frozen on the ground. But during her 40-minute drive home, Warwick said they began to come back to life. The bats made sounds and moved around in a box she had placed on her heated passenger seat for warmth. She put the bats in incubators and returned to the bridge twice a day to collect more. 2 days later, she got a call about more than 900 bats rescued from a bridge in nearby Pearland, Texas. On the third and fourth day, more people showed up to rescue bats from the Waugh Bridge in Houston. A special transportation effort was set up to get the bats to Warwick. Warwick said each of the bats were warmed in an incubator until their body temperature rose. Then they received fluids given to them under their skin. Warwick said there were too many bats for one person to feed and care for. The Humane Society's current buildings did not have the necessary space, so Warwick and others put the bats in her attic. The bats were separated by colony in containers, usually used for dogs. There, they were able to reach a state of hibernation that did not require them to eat. As soon as I wake up in the morning, I wonder, "How are they doing? I need to go see them," Warwick said. Warwick said over 100 bats died because of the cold and the fall from the bridge, but the others are being, or have been, released. The Humane Society is now raising money to build a special room for bats at the Society, Warwick added. Warwick said the Society's entire animal rehabilitation team will be vaccinated against rabies and trained in bat rehabilitation as they prepare to move into a larger building with the special bat room. That would really help in these situations where we continue to see strange weather come through, she said. We could really use more space to rehabilitate the bats. I'm John Russell.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore words and expressions in the English language. If you love learning English expressions and want to speak like a native English speaker, this might just be your dream show. But I would not dream of saying it is the only show. That would be shamelessly overconfident and incorrect. When we say, "I wouldn't dream of doing or saying something," that just means it is something we would never do or say. When learning a language, it is helpful to study many different examples. We need to know how certain words and phrases are used. Hearing an example is a great way to learn its correct usage. This method works like a dream. In other words, it works really well. What other methods could we say work like a dream? I would say using the expression often in a conversation also works really well, like a dream. If you have not already guessed the subject of today's show, it is exploring expressions using the word dream. Let's look at an earlier example, dream show. If we put dream in front of any word, it makes that word the best choice for you. For example, your dream job has everything you could want in a job. Your dream date would include all your favorite things, such as a nice meal or funny movie. And your dream vacation would have things you love to do and see. For example, I have a friend who loves birds. So going somewhere with many different types of birds would be her dream vacation. All of us have dreams that are pretty great. But some things are so amazing, they are beyond our ability to even dream about. In such cases, we can say those things are beyond our wildest dreams. We often use this expression when describing a great place or situation. Once I visited Italy, and that trip was beyond my wildest dreams. We also use it when we want someone to do something or go somewhere. Let's go back to my friend who loves birds. Let's say I want her to go on a trip to the rainforest with me. But she is not sure. I can say, "In the rainforest, you will see birds beyond your wildest dreams." Then, after a day of birdwatching in the rainforest, she might say, "Even in my wildest dreams, I could not have imagined such amazing birds." A vacation like that is what dreams are made of. When something fulfills your every wish and desire, it is almost like a dream. That is when we say what dreams are made of. This expression simply means that something is perfect for someone. You can also say it is the stuff of dreams. For example, if you love writing and traveling, getting a job as a travel writer would be the stuff dreams are made of. It would be a dream come true. Wouldn't it be nice if all our dreams could come true? And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
Students and college advisors agree that there are problems with the popular college ranking system in the United States. The magazine U.S. News and World Report produces the rankings. At the same time, the critics do not believe the rankings will end anytime soon. The list of recent problems related to college rankings is a long one. At the start of 2022, Moshe Porat, former leader of the business school at Temple University in Philadelphia, was sentenced to 14 months in prison. A court had found him guilty of giving false information to U.S. News and World Report that raised his school's ranking. He was also ordered to pay a large financial penalty. Over the summer, Columbia University professor Michael Thaddeus said he believed some of the data the university sent to the magazine were incorrect. As a result, the university held back its numbers and was not included in U.S. News and World Report's 2023 rankings. The publication also removed Columbia from past lists.
And finally, in autumn, a number of top law schools protested the rankings. They restricted some information they sent to the magazine. The protesting schools included Yale, Stanford, Harvard, and the University of California, Berkeley. In all, 9 of the top 14 law schools ranked by U.S. News and World Report joined the protest. The leaders of the law schools said the magazine does not consider some important information. For example, they said the magazine does not show how the schools prepare students for work in public service. Heather Gerken is the head of Yale's law school. She called the magazine's product, Ranking Schools, nearly impossible. She noted that all law schools are different and a one-size-fits-all system cannot provide an accurate picture. In early 2023, U.S. News and World Report answered the criticism. The magazine said it would change its system. The rankings would not penalize schools whose graduates moved on to advanced degree programs or important but low-paying jobs in public service. In addition, the magazine said it would no longer center so much of its final number on the opinions of law professors, lawyers, and judges. The law schools, however, continued to say they would not cooperate.
Heading into 2023, some schools, such as Columbia, will be unranked. Other schools are reconsidering their involvement with rankings. One expert, however, said rankings are still an important way for students to get extra information about colleges. Alan Coe is the chief executive at Cardinal Education, a company in Northern California that helps students think about colleges and prepare their applications. He said he does not think the protest will affect the reputations of law schools at Yale or Harvard. In addition, he said it is unlikely universities will stop their participation in the rankings.
For any university that is considered hyper-elite now, it will be considered hyper-elite later. And we don't think that'll change.
In fact, Coe said he thinks universities will continue to try to get good rankings, even though everybody understands rankings are imperfect. He noted that rankings are especially important for international students who cannot visit colleges before deciding to attend.
Your ranking, A, helps attract talent, B, instills pride for people who've already graduated. The better ranking you have, everyone who's already gone there, their degrees are now getting more valuable.
Coe pointed out that a school's ability to raise money improves as its ranking improves, which permits it to open new buildings and create more programs. He called it a virtuous cycle.
Sarju Pudel of Nepal recently finished his mechanical engineering degree from the University of Texas, Tyler. Tyler is a city in the eastern part of the state, not far from Louisiana. Pudel said the process of choosing a college in the U.S. was overwhelming. But he said he never considered just the college's rankings. He wanted to make sure he received full financial aid at a school that supported computer science, physics, and engineering. As long as the programs and university was regionally accredited, it passed my criteria for consideration, he said. Now that he has graduated from college in the U.S., Pudel said, he thinks higher-ranked schools can sometimes provide better possibilities for their students. For example, high-ranking colleges may indicate availability of more funds and, therefore, more research and project opportunities. Still, when he gives advice to students from Nepal, he said he tells them to ignore rankings. He pushes them to explore their programs, professors' backgrounds, projects, and events related to their program, and availability of internships.
Kartik Sundaram of India is finishing an advanced degree at the University of Michigan. The first thing he did when thinking about colleges was look up rankings, just like I would if I was looking to buy a laptop.
Did I think they were important? Yes. Do I think they're important now? No.
The rankings, he said, were good because they gave him a starting point for his research. From there, he could look for more details, such as how often students graduate in 4 years. Because I did not want to pay for a fifth year, he said. His advice for international students considering universities to attend? Don't sweat the rankings too much, he said, adding, no matter how much research you do, it's unlikely you'll even get close to half of the whole picture. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Thank you for your help on that story, Jill.
You're welcome, Dan.
It brought up some other questions I have about college rankings. You talked about Alan Coe, who helps students think about colleges. He talked about hyper-elite colleges and universities with good reputations, not having to worry if they are ranked or not. What would happen if those schools dropped out of the rankings?
Well, Jill, Coe seems to think if the law school at Harvard were removed from the rankings, it might help some other schools that would then move up on the list. He seemed worried, however, about other schools, such as the University of Washington's law school, that decided to join the rankings protest. That school is ranked 49th. He thought, if it asked to be removed from the rankings, not as many students would apply.
And that's not good for the university. Dan, I wondered, the student from India said he would tell students to not sweat the rankings when making a college choice. That's an interesting expression. Does it mean what I think it means, to ignore them?
Well, Jill, that is a good question. As our listeners know, when you exercise and get hot, you can also get sweaty, since sweat helps cool your skin. In this case, the expression, "don't sweat it," is used to let someone know they shouldn't get too concerned or worried. If someone was running late for lunch, but you had the day off, you might say, "Don't sweat it. I have all day."
Thanks, Dan. It's hard to choose a school, especially when you are too far away to visit it in person.
You're right, Jill. I hope the stories we do on the Learning English broadcast and on our website at learningenglish.voanews.com can help international students think of other ways they can research schools from abroad. In fact, if any of our listeners are still looking for ways to improve their English, they might want to know about our new program for English learners. Here's more information.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English broadcast. Today on the program, we heard from Dan Novak, John Russell, and Anna Mateo. Dan told us about the Asian city of Macau and how its gambling businesses, or casinos, are hoping to see more tourists come to spend money in 2023, now that China has ended its zero COVID policy. John had a story about a bat population in Houston, Texas, and the woman who rescued over 1,000 bats by bringing them into her home until the weather warmed up. And Anna Mateo discussed how to talk about dreams in words and their stories. She talked about the Learning English broadcast being a dream show for those who are trying to learn English. I hope you thought today's show was, in fact, dreamy. Please join us again tomorrow to keep learning English with stories from around the world. I'm Dan Friedel.